Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of April, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Daryl Good will be here with his thoughts on marketing new crop corn and soybeans. We'll discuss the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and check in with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, along the way to see what's been happening in the cash grain market as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is brought to you in part by you. In fact, we'd like you to do your part today by dialing in your financial support at 217-244-9455 or online at willag.org and hit donate at the top of the page.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, taking a look at the numbers in Chicago for Wednesday, May contract in the corn pit was a penny and a half lower today at $3.80 3/4. July at $3.84 3/4, down 2.5 cents. And December corn down four at $3.90 1/2. Next year's March at $3.99 1/2, 4.5 cents lower. May soybeans up a penny and a quarter, finished at $10.19. July at $10.28 1/2, up 1 1/4. August unchanged at $10.27 3/4, and November beans at $10.03 1/2, down 5.5 cents. January futures 6.5 lower at $10.04 1/4. Bean oil futures down 32 cents at $33.62, and the bean meal up $1.90 at $325.20. May wheat futures 4.74 1/4, down 5.5 for the soft red. July down 4 1/4 at $4.83 1/2, and the hard red down 2 1/4 in the nearby May at $4.64. July there at $4.76 1/2, down 1.5 cents. Live cattle futures 57.5 cents lower at $126.22 1/2 in the April. June at $117.70, down $1.05. Feeder cattle for the April 17.5 lower at $146.40. May at $144.70, down 47.5 cents. Lean hogs for the day $1.80 higher at $76.57 1/2, set for 100 pounds. You're listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media and supported by you, in support by you, by that is, dial right now at 217-244-9455.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $45.26 a barrel, $1.23 higher. The price of ethanol at $1.53 8/10 is 7/10 of a cent lower. Gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price at $1.57 8/10, that's a penny and 2/10 higher. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.37 8/10, up 4 6/10 of a cent. Natural gas for the day at $2.03 4/10 of a cent per gallon. That's up 2/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,959, up 40 points. The U.S. dollar down 0.178 at 94.375. And the gold futures at $1,249.50, up $7.30. The weather forecast says tonight a shower or a thunderstorm, that before 1 a.m., then showers, possibly a thunderstorm between 1 and 4 a.m., and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms again after 4 a.m., so three sets coming through, a low of around 55 degrees. East winds at 8 to 15, gusting to 22, chance of rainfall overnight at 80%. Tomorrow, 40% chance of rainfall, partly sunny, otherwise a high of 71. Winds will come out of the southeast at 8 to 15 and turn to the west in the afternoon, gusting to 20. And then Thursday, mostly cloudy, a low of 48 degrees in the evening. Winds out at the north at 11 to 15. Friday, partly sunny skies, a high of 67. A chance of a thunderstorm on Friday night and a low of 49. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, looking for you to help support the programming that you get from Illinois Public Media, because we're supported in part by you, more than 40% of our budget. In fact, if you're interested, you can give us a call right now, 217-244-9455. Go online, willag.org, willpledge.org. At the top of willag.org, you'll see a little page, a little donate button there, and you can do it right there. And it doesn't take very long. Make sure you tell them you're calling in support of agriculture at 217-244-9455, or to click that little button that says in support of agricultural programming. It's checkbox on the website. Now, we're joined by Merrill Crowley. He's of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, to take a look at the marketplace today. Hey, thanks so much for filling in this afternoon. I appreciate you being here, Merrill, to fill in for Jackie Vakes, who's still out of the office for the day.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. I'd like to add a little bit to the pledge drive as far as, you know, not only do we get good information, but for me it helps to provide a different outlook from different brokers and helps me to think more about the markets and catch places where I might be missing information, important information that I need.
Hey, thank you so much for that. And one thing, I don't know that everybody will have caught this just yet, because not all of our listeners at this time in the afternoon will be tuned into our home radio station. But if you want to hear more from Merrill, you can always do that each and every Wednesday morning. Now, thanks, Merrill, for joining a whole crew that's updating our markets at 10:58 a.m. We appreciate you being there each and every Wednesday with an update.
Thanks. I've learned how to talk quick like they do on the I probably could work for the sub place and deliver freaky fast.
There you go, Jimmy John's. All right. We'll give them a free plug there, too. Thanks so much. Hey, what happened in the market today, and what's different, if anything, than it has been the last week or so?
Well, we started out in a correction mode, and I think mainly that was due from the news that the Chinese is trying to curb their current commodity buying frenzy, and it's even being referred to as a bubble. Some of that has bled over into our markets. We've even had some Chinese investors reported buying our market. You know, you put $4 billion into the ag sector, and you're going to push prices regardless of what the fundamentals are. The other thing that then I think helped support the market later on was that the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported export sales of 393,000 metric tons of soybeans for unknown destinations. Of the 300, of that total, 350 was this year's crop, and 43,000 was next year's. On that news, we saw the Gulf basis strengthening. So that probably explains a little bit why we're seeing the bull spreading in the beans as the exporters are trying to come out here and get beans for the export market. The other thing I saw today is the Brazil corn damage estimated about 4 to 6 million metric ton, and Argentine soybean flood damage loss is about at 4 million metric ton. We're looking for a 9-day window for that to dry out in Argentina, and we're looking for a little more rain in Brazil, but that northern sector, which accounts for about 30% of the crop, is still looking like it's going to catch more dryness more damage as we go through. There was a quick blurb about frost in Cordoba and San Luis in Argentina. I don't think there's a whole lot of concern about the damage at this time. It just kind of depends on what stage of the grain is. Corn probably is not hurt much. Beans might see some dropping of leaves, but other than that, it doesn't look like a whole lot of damage there.
What are you of a mind that producers should be doing at this point about new crop corn and soybean sales?
I think you guys should be doing some sales here. We do have the danger of the fund buying stopping. I don't think we're going to go check out the lows we've seen before, but I do think there's a large possibility of a decent retracement. On that, I'm looking to buy some calls, whether it be $4 calls or, say, some $10 bean calls, in order to keep people protected in case we get some drier weather later this year. That thing is kind of going back and forth. We have the Australian weather meteorology department saying they don't think that El Niño or La Niña is going to come in until September, and there's a 50-50 chance of La Niña starting. And then I was just reading some of our local stuff, which is still looking for La Niña to occur around July and August. So it's still up in the air whether or not we're going to see any kind of drought occur. Currently, it just looks like, when you look at the maps, that we have a reverse of last year's situation. A lot of wet weather out into the plains and drier weather here.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us and for taking on that 1058 update each and every Wednesday. I appreciate that, too.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
Merrill Crowley, of course, is with Crowley Commodities. He's out of Watsika, Illinois, and joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. If you have not tuned in to us lately, you probably haven't quite figured out that we added not only one, but five more voices to our daily look at the marketplace. At 1058, Joe Vaklovic is on Mondays. He's with Standard Grain out of Chicago. Greg Ginder from FC Stone in St. Louis is there. On Tuesday, Merrill Crowley, who we just talked to of Crowley Commodities out of Watsika, joins us on Wednesday. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing on Thursday. And Steve Georgie is there from Allendale on Fridays. That's at 1058. It's a really quick update, but they give you the numbers from Chicago and kind of what's happening during the day. It's a really good update. So if you get the chance, tune in to our home station. That's WILL AM 580 for that quick update at 1058. And then one other thing we've added is at 4:30 in the afternoon. If you tune in, I usually pull a sound bite from the discussion, like the one I just had with Merrill Crowley, and give you the closing numbers and a quick sound bite from them from the closing market report for one final look at the update. Just some of the things that we've been up to here, trying to make sure that you get plenty of opportunity to hear all kinds of voices and about what's happening in Chicago at the CME Group as it's related to corn and soybeans in particular, and all the agricultural commodities. Now, given all of that, what we really would like at this point is for you to help us out as well. We're in the middle of a fund drive looking to raise about $90,000. The last time I looked, we were approaching $77,000, so we're getting close. But we need your help right now, 217-244-9455, willag.org. Hit donate at the top of the page or just go straight to willpledge.org. However you do it, and at whatever level you give, it doesn't matter, make sure you tell them you're in support of agriculture. So if you call and talk to somebody on the phone at 217-244-9455, tell them that. If you happen to be online, there is a checkbox there, so make sure you look for the checkbox. It says, in support of agriculture. But don't wait. Do it right now. Hey, thanks so much for doing that today. In today's agricultural news, five national grain-based organizations have cautioned the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, not to make premature and ill-advised changes to its biotech regulations that could result in increased domestic and international market disruptions for grain and grain products. The statement, authored by the National Grain and Feed Association, or NGFA, was in response to APHIS's notice announcing its intent to prepare an environmental impact statement concerning potential revisions to its so-called Part 340 biotech regulations. Under these regulations, APHIS makes science-based determinations of whether biotech-enhanced traits pose a plant pest or noxious weed risk. The North American Grain Feed Association, Corn Refiners Association, North American Millers Association, and NOPA, the National Oilseed Processors Association, joined the NGFA in stating that the outcome of any revisions to APHIS's biotech regulations should be either acceptable to or comparable and compatible with regulatory approaches used by competent government authorities in important U.S. markets so as to minimize or prevent the risk of market and trade disruptions. To date, the group says there is no indication that adequate consultations or buy-in from foreign governments has occurred. Well, Illinois researchers are saying bioreactors are ready for the big time. Last summer, the Gulf of Mexico's dead zone spanned more than 6,400 square miles, more than three times the size it should have been. That, according to the Gulf Hypoxia Task Force. Nitrogen runoff from farms along the Mississippi River, of course, winds up in the Gulf, feeding algae but depriving other marine life of oxygen when the algae decomposes. The 12 states that border the Mississippi have been mandated to develop nutrient reduction strategies, but one especially effective strategy has not been adopted widely. Bioreactors. Bioreactors are passive filtration systems that capitalize on bacterial processes known as denitrification to remove 25 to 45% of the nitrate in the water draining from farm fields. Research on and installation of bioreactors has accelerated in the past decade. University of Illinois Assistant Professor of Water Quality Laura Christensen and her colleagues are urging a move past proof of concept toward large-scale deployment. A benefit of bioreactors as a nitrogen management strategy is their cost-benefit ratio. Bioreactors cost about $10,000 to install, but cost sharing is available through USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, for approximately half that amount. Importantly, bioreactors typically operate for 10 years before the wood chips need to be replaced. And finally today, honeybee colonies in the United States are in decline, due in part to the ill effects of voracious mites, fungal gut parasites, and a wide variety of debilitating viruses. Researchers from the University of Maryland and the U.S. Department of Agriculture recently completed the first comprehensive multi-year study of honeybee parasites and diseases as part of the National Honeybee Disease Survey. The findings reveal some alarming patterns, but provide at least a few pieces of good news as well. The results, published online in a journal the 20th day of this month, provide an important five-year baseline against which to track future trends. Key findings show that the varroa mite, a major honeybee pest, is far more abundant than previous estimates indicated and is closely linked to several damaging viruses. Also, the results show the previously rare chronic bee paralysis virus has skyrocketed in prevalence since it was first detected back in 2010. The good news, however, is that three potentially damaging exotic species have not yet been introduced into the United States. These include a parasitic mite, the Asian honeybee, and the slow bee paralysis virus. The results, based on a survey of beekeepers and samples from bee colonies in 41 states and two territories, span five seasons from 2009 through 2014. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Have you done it yet? Have you dialed in 217-244-9455, gone online to willag.org and hit the donate button at the top of the page or directly to willpledge.org? I hope so, but if not, right now is the time to do it. Don't wait. We're in the midst of a fund drive and we really need your help. Almost there, and I mean almost there, but we'll need to finish this up by the end of the week. So your help is really desired at this point. Go online, 217-244-9455, or willpledge.org or willag.org and hit donate. That's the little word up at the top of the page. It's really simple, easy, and quick to do. It won't take very long. Do it right now. The recent and dramatic swing upwards in the price of corn and soybeans has caught many off guard, and most had felt self-assured the looming prospects of another year of record crops would keep those prices under pressure. Now those same folks are wondering if this move is the big one for the year. There is a simple rule of thumb Darrell Good from the University of Illinois uses when thinking about such things, and it pertains to each and every crop year. Start the marketing plan by plugging in a normal crop, then adjust as facts about the summer weather pattern become available. Factually, most weather forecasters have come a long way as it pertains to one long-range item. There is much agreement that a strong El Niño, which begins to fade in November or December, is a precursor to a warmer summer in the Midwest, and very dry conditions at some point, be those in June or July or August, although that part is not abundantly clear. This is followed by a drought in South America. It's just a forecast, but pretty solidly based on actuals. Solid enough that Darrell Good is willing to take a marketing stance not only for this year, but next.
We have previously made the case for an elevated risk of yields falling below trend value this year as summer weather is influenced by the fading El Niño episode. Even after the recent rally, new crop prices may still understate that risk. It will not be surprising to see periods of volatile prices continue through the summer. Now is the time for producers to establish targets for pricing a portion of both the 2016 and 2017 crops.
good means corn and soybeans. The price of both crops are experiencing a sharp rally this month. There are a number of contributing factors. Excessive rainfall in parts of Argentina has likely resulted in a measurable but unknown reduction in the size of the soybean crop due to flooding. Heat and dryness in Brazil has threatened the size of the corn crop there in those areas that produced bumper crops the past 2 years. And a weaker U.S. dollar has raised expectations for increased export demand for U.S. corn and soybeans. So where do prices go from here? Well, in the short term, much will depend on how much corn and soybean production potential has been reduced in Brazil, and Argentina says good.
The magnitude of that reduction will not be known for a while, but some evidence of the market's expectation about crop size will likely be revealed in the pace of U.S. export sales.
Demand, then, for the big crop from last year seems really strong. And when you couple this with production problems in South America and the better-than-average chance of a production problem in the Corn Belt this summer, it points towards marketing opportunities. Meaning Darrell Good is of a mind farmers should have price targets in place, not only for this year's corn and soybean crops, but also for next year's crops. If those are reached, he thinks sales would be appropriate. We're now joined by Matt Eberle. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. That's their ethanol production plant. Talk about the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. How are you today?
Oh, I'm really well. Do you have any rainfall there this afternoon?
We had a little sprinkle here this morning. Other than that, it's been pretty dry, and guys have been able to get at it pretty good here the past couple of days.
How far along do you think they are on corn planting, and have they started soybeans?
I would say majority of our area, I would say it's about 40% corn. Some guys have started to splash in some beans. Beans maybe 2-3, not real aggressive yet. Ground, Lafayette area is still a little wet.
Is the ground there pretty mellow and working well?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, you know, there's still some sticky spots that guys got to be a little careful about. But I would say for the most part, guys have been able to get in and get rolling here.
Over the past couple of weeks, what does your basis look like as it's reacted to the upward movement in both corn and soybeans?
Corn, we'll start with corn, and the ethanol facility started to lower here a little bit as, you know, the board rallies here. Not surprising to see lots of guys get lots of stuff done here with the great opportunity that the board has presented us with. Climbers, April, May, you're looking at six over the July. In June, July, you're looking 9 over for June and 11 over for July.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
That is Matt Eberle. He's with the Andersons out of their Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, one of the many folks that joins us on the air here at Illinois Public Media to talk about agriculture. If you listen and it makes a difference, please do take some time now to help us make a difference as well and support us financially. We are public radio, and that means you're part of the deal. So 217-244-9455. Matters not how you listen to our programs, just that they make a difference to you. WillAg.org, WillPledge.org, hit the donate button. Make sure that you check the box that says in support of agriculture, or just call 217-244-9455. Make your pledge right now. Don't wait. We need your help right now today.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
It's National Prime Rib Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, the British Parliament passed the Tea Act, one of the events that led to the American Revolution. In 1865, Cornell University was chartered. Cornell is an agricultural land-grant university endowed by Ezra Cornell, one of the founders of the Western Union Telegraph Company. In 1898, the first Weather Bureau kite was launched from Topeka, Kansas. And by the end of the year, 17 kite stations were attempting to collect daily weather observations. The box kites were 8 feet long, 7 feet wide, and 3 feet high. In 1902, Julius Sterling Morton died. He was the founder of Arbor Day, first observed in Nebraska on April 10, 1872. Over 1 million trees were planted. He was a strong supporter of forestation and spent his life conducting agricultural experiments on his estate. From 1893 to 1897, he served as Secretary of Agriculture under President Grover Cleveland. And in 2004, Roy Walford died. An American pathologist, he pioneered the idea of restricting food intake to extend lifespan. His research in the 1960s on mice showed that restricting their caloric intake by about 40% resulted in nearly doubling the lifespan of mice. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Through expert advice and tailored solutions, Busey helps homebuyers achieve the dream of home ownership. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, let's start with the weather in the Midwest. It looks like rainfall on and off for a period of days. Can you tell me about the forecast?
Well, it certainly does look like it's going to be a bit of a mess for a while. We do have two storm systems that will be impacting the region. The first one is already getting underway. It's getting more intense across parts of South Dakota, Iowa, and Nebraska at this hour. And as we go forward through the balance of this day, we'll likely see a new area of stronger thunderstorms developing across Illinois and parts of Indiana. And that will shift eastward overnight tonight and into the morning tomorrow, impacting the rest of Indiana and parts of Ohio. We'll see a fair amount of moisture with this event. Early indications here suggest the totals are probably going to run anywhere from around a couple tenths of an inch, upwards to three quarters of an inch, except in eastern and southern Illinois and west central and southwestern Indiana, where we will see some 1 to 2 inch amounts, maybe something a little bit greater. Now, once this system is out of the way, there will be a second one, and we'll wait for that to occur as we get into the weekend. That particular storm system is going to begin in the Central Plains as we get out towards Friday afternoon. It'll come racing across the east side of the Mississippi River as we get into Saturday morning, in all day Saturday and into Sunday morning. We're going to have plenty of moisture around and, unfortunately, not a lot of field work.
And then if you look further into the next week, what do you see?
The good news is that it will be drier next week. Temperatures might be a little bit on the mild side, but certainly no more big storms expected. We should be able to go from Monday into the following Saturday, which without any real meaningful precipitation. It may not be completely dry, but what rain does occur is going to be extremely brief and light, and we'll see a lot of sunshine and relatively good drying conditions. Like I said, it will be a little bit on the mild to cool side, so it's going to be a slow drying rate, but we will make progress in the right direction.
The good direction for farmers to put a crop in the ground in the first week of May. How about weeks 2 and 3, do you know?
Well, it still looks like we'll probably continue to alternate back and forth between the wetter and the drier bias. It's really very typical springtime weather, and I think we'll do relatively well over this period of time getting into the fields. You know, we've got this great technology anymore. You give us a couple of days where the ground is firm enough to get into, and we can plant a big percentage of this crop, and I think that'll come up as we go into May. It's going to be a very good outlook.
Hey, thanks so much.
Have a great afternoon.
That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear him again on our website at WILLAG.org. While you're there, you can hit that donate button. It's at the top of the page on the full-size website, so do that. And make a donation in support of the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Even quicker, you can go to 217-244-9455 on your phone. Just dial that up, 217-244-9455, and make your your pledge of support today. You can just call in with the pledge. You can make sure that you get that pledge done with an American Express, Visa, Discover, all of those things. It doesn't take very long, but it's really important to do, and thank you so much for doing it. But do it right now. Don't wait, as we're in the midst of the end of our fund drive, trying to wrap it up, heading towards $90,000. I'm Todd Gleason.